a pre-recorded version of the WTK Roundtable on WTK, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. This is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you.
TKA online at WTK.com. We are live here inside the Emden Studios. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side of the glass. And, of course, every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour, we have what we call the MGO Blog Roundtable. And there was one member of the roundtable who last week, and I'm not just pointing this out because we happen to agree with one another, but it's always fitting when someone says something on a show in this forum, when we come back the next week, whoever it is, even if they contradict me, we let them have the floor to claim their prize, their bragging rights, to say I was right and the rest of the panel was wrong. And so last week, I recall saying Hawaii sucks. I recall a couple of members of the panel saying, oh, you're underestimating Hawaii.
No, we said that they looked good against, they looked respectable against Cal.
And I recall saying, what the hell does that mean? And then Brian Cook came forward and said, no, I'll let you say what you said, Brian.
Are you guys still impressed with Hawaii?
I think they're
looking impressive football team.
It is
still.
Well, is Hawaii bad or is Michigan good?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. Both.
I don't think, we'll see about Hawaii. I think Michigan's good.
I think Hawaii was pining for the fjords, and they were just jet-lagged.
What?
I think Hawaii is going to actually score points against teams this year.
They are going to score points against teams.
I don't think they're a terrible offense. Their defense is terrible. Ed and I even said that last week. Ace already called me out six times on this, and it was deserved. But Hawaii's offense is not that bad. Is not that terrible.
It is.
They will. Well,
you're underestimating how bad Cal's defense is.
That could be.
Cal's
that
defense is going to be a wreck.
Well,
Cal's defense is bad, but I mean it's not that much worse than FBS average. I don't think by the end of the year when we look back upon it.
Let me put it this way.
Well,
I think Hawaii is probably a better team than Furman, for example.
I didn't watch the entire firm.
Well, I mean, what do you mean by bad? You know, like, is Hawaii bottom 25? I still don't think they're going to end up in the bottom 25.
I don't either. I think they're about, Ed said 85. I think that's about right. 85, 90 in that range. And so, yeah, they were
bad. Let's focus on Michigan.
You guys are, I mean, you're committed.
They're backpedaling.
We are. I am backpedaling.
They're backpedaling some.
They're only like the 90th team.
When they win the Mountain West, can I get some props?
Yes.
And Craig and I get some props?
Absolutely.
That's a prediction.
I will call you the king if they win the Mountain West.
Me too.
Hawaii wins the Mountain West.
Craig Ross and Ed Fang saw that week one with their line play against Cal. You guys going to say that?
Man, absolutely.
All right.
I will sing it from the rooftops.
They're not going to win the Mountain West.
Okay. I will babysit your kids.
No, Brian.
Well, you want them to get some culture?
It's 9:09 on a Thursday, folks. All right, so that's the roundtable. We start off first with Craig Ross. How are you doing this morning, Craig?
I'm doing fine.
Tell people about your books.
It's not important. There are a couple books.
Look them up.
That's it.
Best salesman ever.
Right? Brian Cook, MGO Blog. How are you doing this morning, Brian?
Good. Visit my site. It is important.
Ed Fang, the Power Rank.
Yep.
I'm doing great, man. I'm pumped to get my Tebow New York Mets minor league jersey.
Yeah, that's really what this is all about.
Exactly. That's what I'm fired up about this morning.
That's why the Mets did it. They're going to sell some jerseys, sell some minor league tickets, and that'll be that. But I want to start off kind of, you know, segueing into what our big takeaways are from that game. It sounds like you guys, Ed and Craig, you came out of that Michigan-Hawaii game thinking, all right, man, Michigan is really good, maybe even better than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Brian, since I know that's where they are, we'll come back to them. What were your big takeaways from that game Saturday?
Well, Chris Evans, I didn't necessarily think he was going to be a running back for this team. I now absolutely believe that. My favorite thing he did is there was that one run where he juked a guy out of it, like he just broke the dude's ankles.
Mm-hmm. That was that the one near the goal line where he made the little side brace?
My favorite.
That was unreal.
That was my favorite.
And like to do that in that short area space, yeah. I was like, God damn.
I agree.
And before that, you know, he's getting through the line and he has this little hop to get himself over a couple of like guys diving at his ankles. And I love that too. Like it's very, really subtle, shows really good information processing, you know, just instincts, you know, and I think that he's going to be a terrific running back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You consider that. I mean, Chris Evans was great. I thought Spate was accurate. Let's forget about the first pass.
Mm-hmm. It was accurate. It was just somebody was in the way.
There was someone in the way. He threw to the wrong team. Hey, you know, it was a bad start. Harbaugh stuck with him, and I thought I'm high on Spate. I think that's good. So that's another thing I'm high on for this team. The defense went out there and did what they were supposed to do. Brian Cook said the linebackers would be just slapping the butts of the defensive linemen. Actually, Mike McCray got in there and got a couple sacks, which
he
I was really excited about.
Yeah, all the sacks were from the linebackers.
Yeah, although Ryan Glasgow handed them to the linebackers a couple of times.
Well, that's what he's supposed to do. That's his job, get up there at the nose. So yeah, I think there's a lot of good takeaways.
Yeah, the Don Brown defense and how weird it was and how, like, I don't understand what's going on there was another takeaway. So they lined up Peppers at 6 yards a lot. Is that's not linebacker depth. That's not safety depth. What is that? That's Peppers depth, and we're going to find out what that means. He was actually moving back into, like, a deep third after being lined up at 6 yards, which is the kind of stuff that you'd see, like, Troy Polamalu do in the NFL. So they have an NFL-level safety-slash-linebacker guy, and they can do a lot of weird things with him, and I think we're going to see that. I thought Hill was kind of an interesting guy, too, because Michigan lined him up in kind of a Peppers position and then put Peppers back at safety. So if there was motion on the defense, they were just like, okay, we're just going to keep the defense relatively static and have Hill fill in for the Peppers role. Mm-hmm. And did really well with it. So I'm going to be interested to see that safety pendulum going forward and just how that develops.
That was weird. I mean, there were several times when we had no one deeper than 6 yards, which, I mean, our deepest guy on defense was about 6 yards from the line of scrimmage. And I don't think I can ever recall seeing anybody do that.
I mean well, short yardage maybe a little bit.
Yeah, short yardage maybe, but not on.
But even Michigan State safety should usually line up from 8 to 10
yards, right?
Mm-hmm. Eight is something that they will do, but 6 was like, okay.
Well, it was Hawaii. I mean, if we see that against Wisconsin.
You're going to see it against Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah.
Because they don't really have any super fast guys. But the amount of blitzing, the number of fronts, just the way they lined up, I'm fascinated to see how it develops. It kind of feels like last year, I spent most of last year like figuring out Harbaugh's offense and being like, oh, that's cool. I like that wrinkle. And I feel like that's coming on defense.
Yeah, Hawaii didn't really start to do much of anything until they started to – you know, run some picks and rub routes on the outside and kind of get some guys free with Michigan spread out. Before that, I mean, it was – you wondered
if they Hawaii didn't do anything until the last drive of the first half, right? So I mean, they did end up racking up some yards.
On those types of plays where they, you know, Michigan, that's probably the only thing from a coaching standpoint. They went back and said, okay, we got to work on this. Everything else, what could you say they did wrong? I mean, they got pressure.
Well,
they were stout against the run. I thought the linebackers were excellent getting off of blocks when they were blocked.
I'd like to pick on Rashawn Gary a little bit.
Why?
He didn't have a great game his first game. Got a penalty in hands to the face. Well, wasn't putting much pressure.
I thought Gary wasn't bad. I mean, there was a play. In fact, aside from the play Brian referenced with Evans making the move in traffic at the goal line, which was a mind blower. The other one that we had a play, I think Hawaii was near the goal line, and we had a double blitz in the A gaps, and they shot, and the quarterback sees the blitz and realizes he better flip it out to his running back who's going left until he realizes
Rashawn Gary's covering him
and and if he throws it, the ball may even be intercepted. Mm. So Gary's covering the running back, and when do you see a defensive end sliding out and coming. The last time I saw that effectively done was USC against us in the Rose Bowl, and they killed us with that a couple times.
I mean, he graded up pretty well on UFR. He had two big problems. There was the hands-to-face penalty, and then he blew his own read. They like picked up 10 yards because he...
Oh, that was when he crashed on
he overplayed it. And then that's the play where he lost his helmet and he did the cool, like, I'm...
was that doing my neck thing.
Was that a zone read, or did you just get out of his lane? And
it was a zone read.
It was a zone read, and he crashed. And unless they were doing a scrape, and I don't think they were, he was the guy.
And Winovich actually did a really good job of playing both ends of it just a few plays later. So some development there. But I thought he was getting around the tackles. And, you know, at that point, the quarterback was just trying to get rid of the ball, and the refs were in full, like, mercy mode where they're just not calling much holding.
Yeah, I think what you saw with Rashawn, I understand on one hand with everything that has been said about how good Rashawn Gary is, why the expectations might, you know, were through the roof for him in the first game. But everything that we said coming out of practice, I think we saw at that game. Technique wise, he is inconsistent. So you would see some, and he talked about it. You know, I had a 1-on-1 with him that you'll hear on the Key Bank Countdown to Kickoff. And he said, you know, I'm working on playing with consistent leverage. So he said, I'm getting to the point where I'll consistently fire off low. But he said, then I'll pop up. He said, now in college, you're dealing with guys of grown man strength. So, you know, you lose the leverage game in college, you lost the game. And he's seeing that more and more. So these are technique issues that those will go away. Those will go away with time, with coaching, with reps. I didn't think he had a bad game. Unless you consider not killing it a bad game. He didn't kill it. I thought he was okay for his first game.
I mean, I don't think I would be picking on him if it weren't 63-3 final score. And complete
and the
demolition.
Left tackle from Hawaii is actually okay, as much as you guys may not want to believe it. That guy is actually a good player. And so he was probably the best player on the Hawaii offense, actually. So he wasn't going against the stiff either.
Mike McCray.
I loved how he attacked half a guy on the blitzes. This is like a scouting term where you're not like trying to run around an offensive line or trying to run like through his arm. And he did that really consistently. There was a Gedeon sack where he got through an offensive lineman, drew the running back to him, and then also drew a hold. So, you know, looked really athletic. I thought he was on top of his game mentally. I have the suspicion that he blew a zone on that one Hawaii drive at the end of the game, but that's a guess. But I mean, pretty much a best case scenario for his debut.
So Ben Bredesen, man, I liked Ben Bredesen in that game.
I thought that Kugler was the clear choice at left guard.
You did.
I did.
I thought on the play for Bredesen that stood out to me was Chris Evans' first big run.
Yeah.
This is the kind of athleticism, power, and awareness once you release to the second level that you're looking for in a very young guy.
So chip and release is like one of the biggest skills that you can have, and he bangs a defensive tackle. Mason Cole steps around and he gets the second level. That's a really good block. On the other hand, he pulled once and then turned around.
Yeah, he that might have been that same drive. Was
no,
it the next play?
No, it was later in the game. There were a couple of issues that I thought were freshman issues, mental issues, that don't really surprise me because you gotta remember this guy's been playing left tackle for a big chunk of camp. So how much is he pulling? Not very much.
Were we just rope-a-doped on that? Because we kept hearing noise about playing left tackle.
No, we weren't.
And,
no.
And Newsom, I thought, had a pretty good game.
He did, but you know, the Braden injury kind of changed the situation.
Yeah.
But I thought Kugler had a really good game, and he had most snaps of anybody because he was in at center when the second string line went in.
So, you know, I have to go back. Did they break down the left guard snaps by quarter?
Yes.
So that's how it went?
It was like first quarter, Kugler, second quarter, Bredesen. And then by the fourth quarter, both those guys were in. Mm-hmm. So they got about half the game, and then Kugler got a quarter at center. And I thought he looked pretty good. I didn't see any mental issues. There were a couple of pulls. Like the Evans touchdown right up the gut was kind of a freebie because Hawaii got out of the lane. But his pull across to kick out was really quick. Like it was just efficient. He got there, and then he delivered a blow. I thought he looked like a very plausible Big Ten lineman.
The only thing I'll say there is that Hawaii is terrible on the defensive line. They had one good defensive lineman who was suspended for the whole year, so they really have no one there. And so it's hard to make. I thought Kalis and Magnuson had great games on the right side. And I don't know what your grade out will look like, but my guess is Kalis might have had the best game of his career. And I mean, I could be wrong, but it seemed like they were very solid on the right side and Cole.
I liked him a lot. So the things I was mostly looking for against Hawaii are the opponent variant things, like not screwing up mentally, mm-hmm. you know, stepping around a guy, like having that instinct not just to like push a guy, but also get around him and seal him off, which I saw Cole do, I saw Kalis do, I even saw Michael Onwenu do it on the Hill touchdown. And Kalis is pretty much the biggest X factor on Michigan's offensive line, because I think you know what you're going to get from Magnuson. You know what you're going to get from Cole. Oh, you know what you're going to get from Braden. But he made so many big mental errors last year while being physically dominant that if he puts it together, that's an all Big Ten lineman. We haven't seen that because he makes so many mental mistakes. And so that was the major thing I was looking for in this game, period, was is Kalis going to be decisive? And I thought he was completely decisive.
Yeah,
I thought it was a great start for him.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I mean, there's no doubt the talent's there, right?
So I mean, there's a big if, right? Yeah. There's a big if in there.
Yeah. If he can be all Big Ten, man, this the my expectations for the run game skyrocket. Because I have them being not great, just average.
Yeah.
An average performing line. I mean, there were times last year, obviously, the first game last year, case in point, where, you know, we come out of that game and Jim Harbaugh is very pointedly talking about guard play and both guards.
Yeah.
And saying very explicitly, we have to fix this position. And now, you know, after this game, you had to be really pleased with Kyle Kalis. Got to consider the opponent. But on the other side, you know, between Braden and Kugler, I'm curious what you think about this. I mean, not Braden and Kugler, being Bredesen and Kugler. You know, if there's any sort of fall off, it's going to be the alternative, I think, is going to be a lot more of an option than maybe it was last season.
I mean, if Kalis keeps it up mentally, then you might see Braden under pressure, because Braden kind of topped out as at okay last mm-hmm. year. And he's never going to be guard shaped, like he's tackle shaped.
Yep.
He's clunky in space. You know, I think he can be a good player, but he's got a cap. And it's, you know, it's possible someone outdistances him. I'd say that's unlikely, but it's definitely within the realm of possibility.
I gotcha. All right, so I'm trying to pick out some other things really quickly. Receiver play. I mean, they have a
didn't really see much, but that I love the corner route that Grant Perry ran.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Where he sells the corner route. He gets the guy to bite on his actual route, and then he breaks to the post. The guy's like starts freaking out, and then he goes back to the corner, and it's over. Like, that is the ideal of Grant Perry that we thought we were getting last year. We saw it in the bowl game. Got a little bit of a continuation there. And then the McDoom catch on the slant. That's the other thing that really jumped out to me.
His speed. Ridiculous speed.
Fast guy. Can't block right now. They very one of those crack sweeps, and he just fell off the guy like he was a sixth grader. So that's an area for improvement. But I loved.
Yeah, there was one play, and I think another play you're talking about where he tried a block and... Wow. Okay, don't try that again.
No, yes.
I got to get a little more weight on you.
You know, the
two, try that block.
Two guys who I think did have good blocking games were Jake Butt and...
No.
You don't think so? I thought he did.
And
Asiasi, I think, had a...
Asiasi, yes, but I saw Butt get kind of blown up a couple times, which I was... That's kind of the only one downer I saw.
Some good blocks, too.
I didn't really have much that was notable on the positive for him, okay. But I had a couple of big negatives. I did like both Wheatley and Asiasi. Yeah. I'm calling the package where they line up next to each other the Kaiju package, which is something
What's
that
Kaiju?
Godzilla is one of the Kaiju, and in Pacific Rim, if you've seen Pacific Rim, the monsters are Kaiju.
Why not Mothra?
Well, because Kaiju is like a category that includes Mothra.
Oh, okay.
So, but
the things we learn on this show, man, I tell you.
Higdon had a run that was 18 yards and almost a touchdown, and that was almost all both those guys getting kick-ass blocks. And I don't know if they're going to be great against real competition this year, because they're freshmen, but I'm hoping to see some progress, and then, you know, hopefully going into next year, that's like a really viable option for Michigan to run a lot, because those guys are both valid threats 20 yards downfield.
So coming out of this game to wrap this segment up, you two, Craig and Ed, you think, wow, this game said a lot about Michigan, about how good Michigan is. Sounds like, Brian, you think, hey, this is what you're supposed to do against Hawaii.
I think you are supposed to do it against Hawaii, but almost all of the things that I wanted to see, I saw. So Spate was really accurate. Evans had a great debut. The line looked much more polished than it had before. You know, there are bad things that could have come out of this game that did not come out of this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I was very optimistic coming into the game about the team this year. I come out of the game even more optimistic. I think there's a chance here. On the other hand, they weren't blocking anybody. They were blocking tomato cans. I don't know if we're going to see more against the team UCF this week or not.
The pass defense will not be tested.
And I don't know if UCF has any offense. I know they're going to go upscale or something. They scored 38 this last week against South Carolina State. I don't know what South Carolina State is.
Well, it's probably a
FCS
university.
School. Yeah, it's an FCS school. I know that.
All right, we got to get to a break. Ed, you'll be up first when we come back. It's 9:27 on a Thursday. Stay tuned here. More MGO Blog Roundtable on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket. On the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We are live here inside the MDN studios. You know, I won't be cutting grass today. It's a little wet outside. I'll get to it. This weekend, maybe Sunday, get on my riding mower. That's right, my riding mower, and knock out my yard in much less time than I used to. Used to average about a couple of hours out cutting the grass. Now I'm done in an hour 15 tops, because I have the right equipment. Went out to Bullion Sales and Service, told them the size of my yard. They asked me the appropriate questions. Do you have an incline? Do you want to pull a load? Do you want to add attachments? Do you want a bag? Do you want a mulch? All of the necessary questions to diagnose your needs. It's not like when you go to a big box store and they say, hey, the tractors are over there, go check them out. Or you go to one of those specialty stores where it's all about the upsell. You tell them you have a half acre lot, they sell you something that'll cut five. That's not what they do out at Bullion Sales and Service. They treat you like family. You walk in the door, and it's almost like a hand-holding experience. Where they tell you all the ins and outs. They also, after you purchase your equipment, that's where they really go to work with the great service that they provide. So it's truly the Bullion difference from Ed Bullion, the owner, and the guy who you folks out there probably know as Coach Eddie, through all the great work they do with Michigan from the Heart and the Michigan from the Heart program, where they help support those kids over at Mott Children's Hospital by getting the student athletes over every Thursday night and sending them on trips, helping them with medical equipment. That's what he does with most of his time. But his job is helping people out at Bullion Sales and Service with his great staff, with Mike and Carrie and all the folks over there at Bullion, averaging 25 years of experience. They will treat you like family. They did it for me. They did it for Ira. They'll do it for you. 8530 North Territorial Road in Dexter. You can find them online at weknowtractors.com. Again, that's weknowtractors.com. John Deere, Kubota, doesn't matter. They have it. They'll take care of you out at Bullion Sales and Service. It's 9:33 on a Thursday. All right, so fellas, let's look ahead to the week that will be, or the game that will be this Saturday against UCF, and I call it the down with Scott Frost game. I mean, the game itself should be, Michigan should win it handily. But I want more than that.
Okay.
I want them to destroy this team. I want no semblance of sportsmanship. If you're up by 80, go up by 87.
Why?
I want to kill this team.
Why?
Because I want to destroy Scott Frost.
What?
I want his first game
what did
to
he
be,
do?
I want his first game to be the worst memory of his athletic coaching or playing career.
What did Scott Frost do?
He is a knockoff. He is a knockoff great from Nebraska that took the mic and rallied an all too willing crowd to give his program and his coach a going away gift. Maybe it didn't have a retirement gift. Maybe it had a little to do with it in the grand scheme of things. I don't care. Symbolic.
Yeah.
It was symbolic.
Yeah.
Symbolism of it. He should be destroyed for it, I think. Boo him mercilessly. I think Saturday is the call to order for Michigan fans.
That seems over the top. Do you don't think Jim Harbaugh would do the same thing in the same situation?
Maybe, but
he would definitely do it.
He's on our side.
Yeah. He would definitely do it.
And he was actually great. He was actually great.
Yeah, he was.
He was greater than Scott Frost.
Scott Frost was pretty good.
He's not Jim Harbaugh.
Well, I didn't say he was, but...
And they shouldn't have won the title that year.
Well, you know, I think a split title was actually the fair decision.
What the hell are you talking about? Where is this coming from?
You're not.
What, invasion of the freaking body snatcher.
There were two coaches that voted.
What are you talking about, Brian?
Brian, you understand that two coaches voted Michigan third when they should have put them second at worst. And if they had voted those second, then Michigan actually would have won both games.
Number one in both polls going into the bowl game.
Phil Fulmer and I forget who the second one was.
It's just. I understand all the arguments against it, but I just think about the Penn State team a couple years previous that was completely undefeated and finished second, and it's like, thanks. Like,
but they were not
the
number
more
one.
Reason to give
they
it to the Big
not,
Ten team.
Yeah, but they weren't number one going into the end.
I mean, Michigan won the national championship that year. I'm not hearing any of that half championship stuff. That's ridiculous. That's Spartan fans' crazy dream, but there's no such thing as a half championship, but I think both teams were worthy and deserving. And
oh man, no, Nebraska cheated that year.
Didn't Nebraska win a game on a fifth down that year?
No, that was
a kickball.
That was a kickball against Missouri.
Blatant kick. It was a blatant kick. The guy admitted it.
Honestly, if that was intentional, the guy deserves it. I don't care if it's against the rules.
And then, you know, just head-to-head or common foes.
I understand that, but I just also think that... was probably the most just outcome, and I don't really care. If Scott Frost wants to advocate for his team, what I expect a player or coach to do.
There's a difference between advocating and whining, begging, pleading. Please, our coach deserves this.
That's in the eye of the beholder, I think. I don't have a problem with what he did. I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I don't know if I have a problem or not, but I think Michigan was the national champ that year and was a better team than Nebraska and would have kicked the crap out of them, I think that's true as well,
but we just don't know that because college football wasn't set up with a playoff.
Just stick with what had been done before then.
Oh.
Michigan was number one in both polls.
Wait.
They win the bowl game. And then they fall in one of the polls?
Well, I don't think that college football makes sense. I mean, Ron Dayne won a Heisman the same year that Mike Vick was in college. You know, Larry Fitzgerald didn't win a Heisman.
See, but Ron Dayne wasn't your running back.
I mean,
Mike Vick wasn't your quarterback. This Michigan is your team.
I know.
Your team was affected by college football not making sense in this instance, which is why you should take greater offense. I understand why you don't take offense to Mike Vick not winning the Heisman.
See, I consider that Michigan won the national championship in 1997, and therefore I don't really care about what Nebraska did.
I'm happy for them that they get to claim the championship.
I see that point of view.
As an aside, down with Scott Frost.
I think it's bizarre that so many Michigan fans are like so mad at Scott Frost for saying that his team should be national champions.
You know, maybe there's a transference here. Maybe we're more frustrated that we weren't advocating like that. That could be the case. But, hey, he is the one coming down that tunnel on Saturday. Phil Fulmer isn't coming down. We can't boo him.
We could.
You know, how? Where is he?
You're a lawyer, right? Get his address.
Like I said, if you see him at the sandwich stand,
I'm a lawyer,
by all means,
boo
Phil Fulmer. But Scott Frost is in town. And then to add insult to injury, I had no idea about this letter from Mom. You know, to the Wolverine all these years.
No. That's not here or there.
How is that not here?
In my mentions on Twitter, the Wolverine and the UCF rival site have been arguing about whether this exists for days.
Oh, whether the letter exists?
Yes. And I'm just like, I don't care about any of this. I don't care. And you know what?
You can make
even if Scott Frost did, Mom did write a crappy letter to the Wolverine after the Alamo Bowl, good for her.
Oh, and look, I'm actually kind of admire the chutzpah. I don't know if I said that right, but I kind of admire that. But still,
it draws even more ire when her son comes down that tunnel.
That's irrational.
You should give it to him.
No.
Football fans are irrational.
Wait, has your mom ever done something that you're not super happy with?
Sure, but he's happy with this.
No, he's not. You don't know that he's happy with it.
Because he did the same thing.
He didn't do the same thing.
On multiple occasions, Brian.
Like she did.
We just he whined and cried and pleaded and stated his. Where do you think he got it from? He got it from mom. Where he got it from?
This happened either 20 years ago or 10 years ago.
It's Scott Frost's mom.
Don't boo Scott Frost's mom.
Boo his mom.
No.
Boo the guy carrying his cord up and down the sideline.
I agree with the person who said a couple bucket of popcorn on her head.
Let it go.
Boo them all. Give it to him.
Let it go.
I'm not saying harass them.
You just said harass them. You just said that.
I said boo. There's a difference between booing and doing what Ohio State fans do. I'm not saying do what Ohio State fans do. Just boo.
I don't know if that's really coming through. See, what I'm hearing from you is harass this woman.
No, don't harass her.
Well,
don't physically accost her.
Maybe let's not push people up to the line where it's like, is that harassment or not?
I have made very clear.
Yeah.
I am talking about audible protest.
Yes.
Not physical protest.
To a woman who may or may not have written a crappy letter to the Wolverine.
So you don't believe Mike Spath?
If writing crappy things about the Wolverine is like the threshold for being booed, you need to boo me.
We can make that happen, right, Sam?
Boo.
I'm just talking. Look, man.
You've been waiting your entire life to do that.
In this particular instance, Brian, we all have the same phone. Look.
No, we don't.
Brian, you're my guy, right?
Yes.
You're my boy.
Uh-huh. Is this a threat? Are you about to threaten me?
I'm not about to threaten you. I'm asking you to do something for me.
I'm not going
to
do it, no.
I'm asking you to do something for me.
No, I'm going to roll my eyes at whoever boos Scott Frost.
I may have asked you for an email address here or there.
I don't care.
I haven't asked you for anything. I'm asking you.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Just you know.
It doesn't make any sense, Sam.
Help rally the troops.
I wish that in 1997 Michigan fans and players had done the same thing Scott Frost did then.
But they didn't.
I cannot hypocritically condemn a man for doing something that I would have done myself.
Oh, man, I can't. This is not Brian Cook.
Yes, it is.
It's not Brian Cook.
It is a rational man.
I don't know what happened.
What are you talking about?
I have a question. Is UCF any good?
No.
No?
No.
I mean, I don't know. How do we know if they're any good or not?
They have a couple of good players on defense, but Ace was doing his quarterback charting for their game against wherever it was, South Dakota, Carolina State, and they had like three catchable passes in the first half.
Okay.
And they threw a lot more than three times. They're bad. They're real bad.
They're a real bad team. I know they lost. I think that they broke their 13-game losing streak.
They did.
On last week, and though they did win 38-0 against probably a team that's not very good, I assume.
Probably about the same level as Furman.
Okay. All right. So.
Destroy. I mean, just rip this team, eviscerate this team this week. I'm hoping that if Harbaugh has a chance to you know, score a touchdown with a second left, do it. Do it. I mean, just plunder. Well, this should be.
He would do that anyway.
This
like,
should be. I don't know. He might take a knee. He might take a knee this year.
And take a knee against who do we play? Hawaii. They're so bad, I've even forgotten that.
And he likes Rolovich. He and Rolovich are friends. So I mean, they did a camp together in Hawaii. So
they did.
Yeah.
Share some videotape.
Yeah.
And Rolovich said that was the best team he'd ever played, and he played the 08 Florida team. Yeah. So I'm down with Rolovich. Yeah. He's a legit funny dude too. He had some funny stuff.
Yeah. So now do we all believe now that Rolovich was joking when he said, "Hey, I want to
practice." And I think he deadpanned it, and the media was just like, "Oh no."
Right. 734-998-250 tweet us. I mean, that became a Harbaugh thing. I mean, there was even the ESPN.
Yeah, it was like the lead story on SportsCenter.
What? Is this the Twilight Zone, man?
No, this is media in 2016.
God, Harbaugh. 734-998-1050. Don in Sylvania. Don, what's up?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, team. You know, I just hope Scott Frost's mom doesn't come in a walker and a silver hair and a little old lady and we're booing her. We're going to look like the Philadelphia fans booing Santa Claus.
That's
throwing
Brian's
snowballs.
Point. I'm part of.
Hey, I got to tell you, booing an old woman is fine if it's Scott Frost's mom.
Oh, my God.
If it's Scott Frost's mom, I'll boo an old woman. I'm just saying.
But just remember, guys, he's not the only one that lobbied. What still chaps me to this day is a certain coach that's sitting in Columbus that was the Florida Gators coach for, what was it, 6 weeks. We had to get him. Every time anybody would interview him on a podium, he would whine for Florida, and somehow they jumped us, and they ended up in the national championship. I understand they obliterated Ohio State. But still, he whined for 6 weeks straight. Urban whined. Whine, why the Gators should be jumped. And we sat back, and actually we didn't say too much. We took the upper hand, and next thing you know, a two-loss Florida team jumps Michigan with one loss. And I was just, to this day, that still irks me. I did watch some highlights from their game. It looked like they were playing a high school team, but it does look like they have two big wide receivers that can get to the outside.
You're talking about UCF now? Yep, UCF.
Okay. If there is a team, seems like their quarterback, if he has a seam, he tends to take off up the middle. So I think our linebacker is going to have to be a little bit more disciplined this week instead of looking in. And some things I saw last week that seemed to be plaguing us from last year, it seems like some of our DBs lost leverage to the inside.
They got run. I mean, that's something they can work on in practice.
I mean, there was one play on that first and 25 on that drive where Stribling got beat, but I thought other than that, they played pretty well.
Yeah,
they're going to destroy this team.
Yeah, I assume Lewis is back this week. I think
it might be one more week.
One more. What about Mo Kirk?
He's not suspended. There's no suspension.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm pretty sure. Mo Hurst, is he going to play this?
Hurst and Braden should be back. Smith should be back.
Okay, and I assume Taco's out for a week or two.
Taco's probably out.
Yeah, he's Harbaugh even confirmed that. And Taco and Monet out.
And Monet may be out for a few weeks, it sounds like.
Yes, but given what happened there, 3 weeks is great. I'm totally down with that.
He actually went back in the game. Glasgow said that in the presser that after the injury, Monet was back in the game. And he's like, hey, maybe I shouldn't be playing on this.
Yeah. Is it just me, or does it seem like Michigan's a little bit less paranoid about injury information?
No, I think Glasgow probably, he probably got told, hey, man, you gave out a little too much injury information right there.
Well, no, but like he, like just generally, like we have an idea of like timelines for these guys, which didn't happen last year.
Well,
at least not in press conferences. Right. You probably knew, so you're not a good person to ask about this.
There's not a lot of public about the timelines, except for that Monet and Taco are out this week. Yeah, he didn't give it anything more than that.
That's all he said was about Monet and Taco, that they're out this week.
He also said that like various guys were just dinged and it wasn't going to be a problem. So. Right.
Incidentally, what did you think of Winovich? I thought Winovich played okay. I mean, he did a good job on the few read options.
He should have, like, the roughing call was targeting and he should have been kicked out.
What?
It was helmet to helmet.
See, we talked about this in the press box. I thought that's what they were going to call. Yeah. Like, come on, man.
No, but he hit the quarterback like right after he threw the ball. That's not a problem.
One step and hit.
Yeah, one step and hit. So they shouldn't have thrown a flag unless it was targeting. So they threw the flag, but
let's do that. What are the elements of targeting?
If you go helmet to helmet against a quarterback in a throwing motion, it's targeting, which was absolutely what happened.
Period.
So if helmet hits helmet and the guy's in a throwing motion, there's no gray area there. So he should have gotten booted. But other than that, I thought his second half was really good. Like, he showed off a couple of pass rush moves that I think are going to work on guys who are a lot better than the Hawaii tackles. And he chased down that option, as I mentioned earlier in the show. So I thought he was good. And the fourth down, he like blew up one of their tight ends, which I think was the most impressive.
He has freaky athleticism. We got to get to a break. Because, you know, I saw him do it a few times in the spring. I saw him do it once in the game where he kind of plays the quarterback on the read option. He plays the quarterback and the running back. Yeah. And obviously, that's not what you're supposed to do. But
well, if you can do it.
But if you can do it, like we saw Jake Ryan do a few years back, then, wow, you're just a freaky athletic guy. And he's a freaky athletic guy that is, as he gets stronger, that's been the biggest difference. He had to add a lot of weight. Had to get significantly stronger, and he's on the path to doing that. But he can already come off the edge, so that's great. Brian, I'm just, come on, man.
I'm over it. I'm over Scott Frost.
Scott Frost and
I'm over
Chase Winovich out the game. Like, damn, man.
I'm over everything except
you probably think Sean Crable really committed a personal foul against Troy Smith in 2006, right?
No, because he was an active runner. They didn't have targeting then. That should have been fine.
But if they had targeting?
If they had targeting, that was targeting, but they didn't.
Oh, my God. The guy's like, he's like 5'10".
I'm saying that wasn't a penalty because that rule didn't exist at that time.
Man, are you having a bad day?
No, are you having a bad day?
I'm having a good day.
I was having a good day.
It's my job
to put
to
up
argue
with
Brian. I don't know what's going on
here
today.
This is not Brian. I don't know what's going
me.
On. It's 9:49 on a Thursday. We got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider at Sports Talk 1050 WTK. Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. Folks, tomorrow from 5 until 6 p.m., Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor, 3515 Jackson Road. Lamar Woodley will be in the house signing autographs. Here is the catch, though, and it's a good one. You must make at least a $25 donation to the American Cancer Society for Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. That's tomorrow from 5 until 6 as part of the Suburban Cares Initiative out at Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor. Lamar Woodley in the house, 5 until 6 p.m. tomorrow at 3515 Jackson Road, signing your autographs and raising money for Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. Hope to see you out there. Let's go to the phones.
Hey, Sam, real quick, before we go to the phones, we had a suggestion from Twitter from MGum93, who thinks that we should give Brian Cook a Snickers bar, because you know what happens when you don't have when you're hungry. That Brian
right,
apparently needs a Snickers
one.
Bar.
That is a good one. Not quite himself today. I agree.
I feel
that is a great tweet.
I feel I am my most self this day.
I don't know, Sam. Did you get much sleep last night, too? You're on edge more than I've ever seen you.
There are certain things that happen. There are certain people that come around that just draw.
Let's go to the phones.
They draw.
Let's stop talking about this.
This inner, you know, wounded child.
Is it Phil? I'd even talk to Phil over this Scott Frost stuff.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Something is wrong. Something is wrong.
Why blame me? Why not look internally?
I got you back,
sir. Hands are pleated. I mean,
self-scout. You need to self-scout.
Dude, Eddie Brown, I see Eddie Brown to this day. I have bad words for Eddie Brown.
Sam, I got one more email.
Eddie Brown admits what he did.
That's true. I know.
Who is Eddie Brown?
Eddie Brown is the guy that...
I don't care. Don't tell me.
Do
no, don't tell
he
me.
He is the guy that felt Desmond Howard up in the end zone in 1990 for Michigan State.
Oh, okay.
He's
Brian
that guy.
Wasn't even alive in 1990.
Boo that guy.
Yeah, that was happened.
Exactly.
Hey, no, but Scott Frost,
right,
I'm
friends
over
again.
It.
Sam,
I'm
over
one more,
friends again.
One more tweet. DJ tweeted and he said, Sam and Brian yelling at each other is like your parents arguing. Sad but entertaining.
Let's go to the phones. Talk to Rick in Bloomingdale. Rick, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, Sam, if all you guys agreed on everything, the show would be kind of boring.
True.
So I like it. I like you guys together. I wanted to comment about this year's team, but I want to throw in a quick comment about 97. I mention this often, but I don't hear it mentioned quite as often as when I... They were both 12-0, right? Michigan won all 12 of their games in regulation. Nebraska ended one of their games tied in regulation and needed a miracle play to tie. And they had a comparable opponent, right, in Colorado, and what a difference that was. So, and the coaches' vote was not all the coaches. Some coaches vote with integrity, but it was lacking some integrity in the voting process, with two coaches putting Michigan at 3. This year's team wins Saturday 63-3. I was wondering if the average, because I'm comparing this year's Michigan team to the 7 years prior to Harbaugh's hiring, the average Rich Rod team probably would have beat that same Hawaii opponent about 48-35, and maybe the average Brady Hoke team would have won that game about 40-17. What do you guys think?
Well, the average Brady Hoke team is a very difficult thing to evaluate, but I think they probably would have won that game 20-19.
Come on. That's absurd.
Hey, man, Brady Hoke recruited a lot of guys around on the field. Yeah.
He did. Also, he turned the Michigan offense into an unwatchable sludge.
That's true.
So,
And failed to... I was tweeting this out, Craig, on Twitter during the Notre Dame game about how Al Borges didn't want DeShone Kizer.
Yeah, that, I mean...
That's something I'm not over.
I know that...
Ignoring
that
a guy in Toledo is, that talented.
Michigan didn't want Troy Smith either. I mean, there's some guys that...
No. But there's Troy Smith is like 5'11". DeShone Kizer is 6'4", obviously a good fit for a pro-style offense.
I mean,
not even
I
looking
really
at
like
him.
Spate. I really like Spate. I'm excited about this team's chances with him at quarterback. DeShone Kizer is good.
I mean,
that guy can play.
I agree.
He's yes.
That was a.
He's the truth.
That was a inexplicable.
Oh, Michigan! Decision. Hey, they passed on Allen Robinson.
A lot of people pass on Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson really wanted to come to Michigan.
Yeah, but,
I mean, really wanted to come. I mean, the guy, he made a big play against Channing Stribling, but there's something more there when you get that tattooed on your abdomen. There's more of a message there. Allen Robinson really wanted to go to Michigan. And, hey,
well,
sometimes you miss, man. Sometimes you miss. Don in Ann Arbor. Don, what's up?
Hey, since everybody else is beating the dead horse of 1997, I'm gonna. First, nobody should care about the coaches poll. It's stupid. I know that. I never would have voted Nebraska number one. But here's the fact. Across the rest of the country, those coaches, who maybe some of whom watched the bowl games, some of them didn't, what they saw was number two Nebraska beating the number three team in the country, Tennessee, which still had an outside chance at the national championship. They beat them 44-17, I think it was. That game was never in doubt. That's the number three team in the country at the time. Tennessee was a well-regarded program with a lot of juice in terms of perception. Michigan, on the other hand, played a relatively lightly regarded and probably criminally underrated Washington State team that was number seven or number eight, depending on the poll. Nobody sees them play because they're out in the Pacific Coast. And Michigan beats them 21-16, where the game literally goes down to the last play, albeit with some horrible officiating to aid Washington State. So the perception among coaches elsewhere in the country is that, wow, no, Nebraska beat the number three team, beat them like a drum, and Michigan had trouble with the number eight team. It's stupid to us, but I guarantee you that played into the perception across the country. Scott Frost could have had an hour-long infomercial on behalf of Tom Osborne. It would not have made a particle of difference if Michigan had beaten Washington State the way we had beaten Penn State earlier that
You know
week.
What, Don? I'm disappointed in you.
We've spent this entire radio hour talking about 20 years ago.
Yes, I did.
Instead of the glorious future.
Boo, boo, boo.
Wait, you want to talk about Central Florida?
Grandmother, boo,
I think it's all right, bro.
We got to get out of here. Up next is Inside the Huddle with Michael Spath, and he can tell you the story of Scott Frost's mom. He can make you want to boo Scott Frost. I don't care if she's an old woman. Boo her. And then help her to her car afterward. I'm just saying. All right? We got to get out of here. Talk to you tomorrow here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050. WTK, the ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports, Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.